Hello and welcome to the Original Content Podcast. I'm Anthony Ha.
I'm Jordan Crook.
And I'm Daryl Etherington.
And we are joined today by Megan Rose Dickey, another writer at TechCrunch, also a fellow podcaster, although I think maybe she's fallen a little bit off, off the wagon there. How's it going, Megan?
Okay, wow. You did not have to set me up for that right there. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
We're really glad to have you. What happened to your podcast?
I was aiming for affectionate, but I think I might have missed a little. Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely a miss, but we can circle back to that later.
Well, thank you for joining us, Megan. And you were the one who suggested that we review the Netflix music competition show Rhythm and Flow, which we will get to in 1 second. Before we do that, I will just remind our listeners that if they have feedback on anything that we review or on the job we are doing, you can always email us at originalcontent@techcrunch.com. I don't think we got any feedback on the Disney Plus and Mandalorian episode, but it sounds, Jordan, like you have been exploring a little bit more of Disney Plus and have some thoughts.
Yeah. So last week I came out pretty hot out the gate with some thoughts that were probably pretty wrong. So I,
as you do.
Yeah. As I sometimes do, I just, you know, especially on the podcast, I feel like there's a lot of freedom to just kind of say things, which I probably shouldn't. But, I said that the best part of Disney Plus was just browsing it and looking at all of the nostalgic, movies and TV shows and stuff that I watched as a kid, but that I wouldn't actually be interested in watching any of them. And that still holds true for some things, I think. Like I I sat down and tried to watch Brink. Do you guys remember Brink?
Wait, with the roller skates?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, roller skating.
Oh yeah, that was the classic.
I believe that it was the first ever Disney Channel
original movie. Damn right it was.
Yeah, it was. And they made a huge deal out of it. And I was like, oh shit, this movie, you know, and it had the cool skaters. It had Eric Von Detten, who has been in every Disney thing, plus Princess Diaries. And it just looks so good. And I loved it. I probably watched it 200 times before I turned 13. I watched that movie constantly every time it came on. And I tried to watch it again. And I swear I couldn't get through 10 minutes of it. I was like, this does not hold up, man. What? It was awful. And funny fact, Greg Comparic and I were texting and he was like, yeah, Brink does not hold up. And I was like, man, what are the chances? I tried Brink too and I couldn't watch it either. So that sucked.
But do you think it's because, you're now 20 years older than you were when you first saw it? Do you think 10-year-olds today,
the main reason.
But would 10-year-olds today still really like it?
I don't know. I really don't know, because I think the trend has been towards all these Pixar movies and this kids television. I think once you get to I don't really know much about kids. I don't know their ages and shit, but I would assume that once you get past Dora the Explorer and that phase, Baby Shark. And once you get out of the really juvenile stuff, I think a lot of the kids movies and TV shows today are built with a parental audience in mind as well. There's at least something there to enjoy. Mm-hmm. Whereas the preteen stuff on Disney Channel original movies, they were never concerned about whether or not the parents were watching. And I feel like kids are now smarter because of the movies and stuff they have, where they're they don't really fall for the cheesy stuff as much anymore. I could be wrong about that. Like I said, I don't know shit about kids. So maybe they'd like it. I don't know. What do you think?
Do I think kids today...
A 2019 10-year-old would enjoy Brink?
I mean, I haven't seen Brink in so long. I'm not paying for Disney Plus because I feel like I'm already spending $300 a month on all the random streaming services. But so I will see if I see it. But I remember thinking Brink was very good.
Yeah. No, I loved Brink and I loved a bunch of them. But after my Brink experience now, I don't know if I'll even venture into the other ones. And I don't know how something like Lizzie McGuire will hold up either, although I'm excited for the reboot.
Wait, there's going to be a reboot? Oh, wow.
Yeah, of her adult life, with the
Hillary
whole family
Duff?
Grown up. Yeah, with Hillary
and
Duff. The whole cast has signed on.
Oh,
yes,
wow. That's
like
awesome.
All of them. It's going to be really cool. They're going to be grown-ups in anyway. So the other side of that, though, other than Brink and potentially Lizzie McGuire, I did watch a lot of Disney Plus content like this week. I watched like most of the Star Wars that they have again, at least the new ones. And then I watched Beauty and the Beast and I watched Finding Dory. So, yeah, I was wrong. I was wrong.
I mean, especially Beauty and the Beast, right? That, like, I feel like holds up amazingly well. I mean, wait, did you watch the live action or the animated one?
And I don't think that I...
Yeah, that one's a classic.
Like, but here's the cool thing, like, that I didn't really realize is that I really have a craving for, like, the have TV on in the background content. Like, good enough to, like, make me happy and feel good. And when I look up, there's something nice to look at, but not so in-depth that I miss everything. And so... all those old Disney movies are perfect for that because they've got like all the tunes you love and like the scenes you like, but like, you know, them so well that like I could be doing something completely different and have that on and not lose focus. You know what I mean? So that's going to be a nice little gap to fill in my content world that I didn't realize before. So I was wrong. Sorry. Whoops.
No, you were right before.
That it is bad. Because should I don't know.
I think I'm half and half. Like, I think half of that content would never hold up. Like, I would never watch again. But then there's a part of it that I thought, like, oh, I don't care to watch The Little Mermaid or Beauty and the Beast. But, like, turns out I do. And turns out, like, I forgot how much I loved new Star Wars. I cannot wait for episode 9, you guys. I'm like... I'm so into Kylo Ren. It's weird. It's like a weird crush that I never thought I'd have.
Oh, I'm into,
him too.
Kylo's good.
Yeah, he's got Adam Driver. I'm like
Googling
so
Kylo Ren. Oh, that guy. The guy from Girls. Got it.
His walk. Yeah, the guy from Girls. he plays Darth Vader's grandson. It's epic, man. Come on.
Okay, but to be clear, Disney Plus is essentially a streaming service for nostalgia and Star Wars. Does that pretty much sum it up?
It's a streaming service. I would call it more a streaming service for families.
Well, it's, and gargoyles.
And gargoyles. I think for that's gargoyles. So weird that you love gargoyles. But yeah, I think it's for families.
And for Marvel movies.
Because like, if I had kids, like I'm 31 now, and if I had kids, like I would love having Disney Plus because you're loading them up for like 5 years of babysitting. Essentially, you have everything you need to keep them entertained. It's all like mostly pre-vetted stuff. You know, it's just like easy. And all of those movies I grew up watching, can you imagine if I had to buy them all for my kids to see them, my fictional children, I would spend like thousands of dollars trying to get them all those movies. So it's kind of a deal in that way. Right.
Sounds like it's not for me, but, yeah, it's cool for you and your imaginary kids.
Right. I think it's primarily aimed at families.
Let's talk about Rhythm and Flow.
Well, Megan, since you were the one who suggested that we review it, I would love to hear just about how you heard about it.
Yeah. So I'd run out of shows to watch. And so I was like browsing Netflix and I was like, oh, like... And I noticed that Cardi B and Chance and T.I. were, like, you know, on the little, like, preview card. So I started watching it. The context is I've always been very into reality TV shows, whether it's been, like, American Idol, The Voice. MTV had a thing way back in the day called, like, Making the Band. So I've always been, like, really into, like,
I remember that.
Singing show competitions. And this is the first one, really, that I've seen for like, rap and hip-hop. So I was basically like immediately drawn into it and like was definitely rooting for some people along the way. And it was just cool to see I felt like I kind of got to know Cardi B a little bit more, which was cool. But yeah, no, I was into it. I'm kind of bummed that none of you actually finished the season because I was wanting to talk about favorites. But
you know who won? I do have favorites.
Who are they? But you don't even know. Who are they?
Well, so one is London B.
Yeah! She's definitely my favorite. Yeah, I'm definitely still listening to her music on Spotify. So.
She is so good. Like, so good. And everyone's always blown away by the end of her, like, sets. So I thought that was really cool. And I just like her style. She kind of looks like a sexy Cruella de Vil. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, something really cool about her. And then another favorite of mine is Arion from Chicago. He's younger. He actually messed up on his audition. He was the one who was talking to his mom before he went on that night. And she was
He's like 18, right?
Yeah, like, you can't leave here until you do your homework. And he's like, Mom, it's my audition. Like, she's like, no, man, do your homework. And then he said something like about being this is going to change our lives. And his mom was like, nah, like, I'm good. I manage. Like, I've been doing it. You don't need to change my life. Like, this is for you. Like, just focus on yourself. And like, you know, I don't know. I really liked the dynamic between him and his mom. And then I liked his music too. He messed up in his audition and they still let him through. And then he did really well in the cipher. I don't know how far he went after that, but I like him.
Yeah, he didn't make it super. He made it, I don't know. He like maybe got midway through or so, but.
Yeah, he's so young. Like, I didn't expect him to go super, super far just because I feel like it's hard to be that young and be in the spotlight and like have all that pressure, you know? But
yeah,
anyway, but, I really like those two.
But I also feel like some of the people they let through, like just the auditions, were not good. Like, I feel like they were just like objective. Some of them were like objectively not good, but they like felt bad for them. Like, there was the one guy who was doing that weird dance. Do you remember that guy?
The turbo foot dance with the guy who's, I know what you're talking about.
So I feel like they were like not always the harshest judges. But
sometimes they were really harsh though. Like, it was weird. Like, sometimes they were like, that just wasn't good enough. And I do feel like, unlike shows, I don't know if this is like hip hop culture or it just happens to be these judges and this the context of this show, but like American Idol and The Voice and stuff, like, they, even if they're giving critical feedback, they do a lot of praising, like a lot of praising. And I felt like it was very rare that someone got like just holy praise on this. It was always like, nah, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, that was pretty good, you know, instead of like, wow, that was amazing. You know what I mean? Like, it was like this very reserved source of praise, which I kind of enjoyed. Like, I liked that they were harsher on them. And then it was weird when they would let someone through. I agree with you, Megan. I was like, you guys have been like really hard on everyone, and then randomly this kid messes up. I want him to fake it, but like, he messes up and you're like, I don't know, you're still dope, like, come on through. And it's like, wait, you were yelling at someone for missing up the lyrics like 1 minute ago.
That's what they would, because they would be honest about it, and they would say like, that was bad. I didn't like it. And then they would be like, you know, but you deserve a chance. And it's like, what? Based on what?
Why do, like, they deserve, what do you mean? Like,
well, and there's also that interesting kind of little speech that Cardi B gives in the second episode, which is focused on the New York auditions, and she talks about this because somebody has just given this really passionate speech about how badly they need this. And then, you know, she says, you know, everybody in hip hop, everybody on this stage comes from like some pretty bad shit. And that's not our job to like just give you a bunch of extra chances. Like, the record industry is not going to give you a bunch of extra chances. The audience is not going to give you a bunch of extra chances. So like, I thought that was like a pretty interesting moment of real talk, even though the person that she was taught, at least the way they edited it, it seemed like she was talking about this person that they actually let through basically just because
she's like, I will give you an extra chance, but you won't get extra chances other than this one, by the way.
I remember that one. That was the guy who was like crying, wasn't it? He was like really, really emotional. Or was that a different one?
I think it was a woman. It was the woman who was from the Bronx. I mean, there are a couple women from the Bronx, but like, she was, like talking about, like,
I can't get enough of Cardi B, to be honest. Yeah. Like, I literally cannot get enough of her.
Yeah,
she is
really
something
is
special.
Star.
She is like really honest and intelligent and like eloquent. And then at the same time, like, kind of an alien. Like, you don't know what she's talking about sometimes.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
what I mean?
Yeah.
But then she says something and you're like, oh, that makes perfect sense. Like, she said something at one point where she was like, I didn't hear anything that would make me want to put it as like a caption on my Instagram.
Right.
And I was like, dude, that is exactly, I get, like, that makes so much sense. But she just puts it in these very like black and white transactional terms that I feel like is super real, where she's just like, sorry, like, I'm selling tits and ass. What are you selling? You know, like, just like, she really, I don't know. I can't get enough of her. She's something else, man.
I liked Chance the Rapper too, because like I felt like, I mean, this is true of all the judges, but I thought especially with him, he was usually very reserved. But if he liked somebody, he would just go crazy. Like you would just see him like falling over backwards, laughing, like putting his hands on his face. Like he was, when he was into it, you could 100% tell he was into it.
He also gave some of the more constructive feedback. Like it was very thoughtful and helpful, as opposed to just like T.I. like, nah, I wasn't feeling it, or something like that. It was just very,
yeah,
it was way more productive.
T.I. did give some good advice here and there, though. But yeah, I felt like he sometimes just like leaned into the subjective a little bit more than the other two and was just like, not my thing, you know? And you're like, wait, but why? You know, like I don't know. I also just like, I don't know about you, Megan, but I feel like part of the reason I watch reality television, or I like reality television, is for like the highs and lows, you know, like when someone finds out they made it and they just like start crying, like there's something about that that just like touches you so much, you know? And I feel like this show is good about that, where it doesn't like, that's not the point of the show, is like the feel good moments and the hard moments. Like the point is actually like solid entertainment. Like all of this music is so cool and awesome, and seeing all these new artists and styles, but then they do a good job, I think, of just like hitting that like reality TV kind of totem of like, this should pull your heartstrings a little bit. Did you guys feel that with this, or is that just me? Am I like too emotional?
No, I thought it was good. It was kind of like the ones, like I watched a lot of reality TV too, and they do that a lot in like even the MasterChef or whatever, right? Like they go and do somebody's like home story and try to like get you invested that way. But like, I thought this did a good job of doing that, but also not making it so apparent and like,
it's not the focus,
the fake setup feeling. Like,
yeah, I mean, there were definitely some, like, God, I'm totally blanking on his name. He was like pretty tall, had like a shaved head, like a buzz cut. He lived with his mom, I think in like a one bedroom apartment. So like maybe he slept on the couch.
Wait, is it Inglewood? Inglewood
no,
IV? Is that who
no.
it is?
I just forget, but like his story really resonated with me, and like I was just really rooting for him, because I was like, oh, like this seems like just such a sweet guy, and like someone with his mom and just wants to like help, like get them like a little like further along. And yeah, so there were definitely moments where I like felt like emotionally drawn in, but yeah, not always.
Wait, so Megan, can you tell me, or I don't know how far everyone got. It sounds like Megan got the furthest, but how does the structure end after the, so there's auditions in different cities, mm-hmm. right? They do Chicago, New York,
Atlanta,
and
LA.
Do they do LA?
Yeah, they do LA.
LA. And then they pull all of the ones who made it to like that cipher thing where they have no audience. They're just rapping for the judges. And then what happens after that? Like, do they go into a studio where they perform in front of an audience again, or how does that work?
Yeah, so then like the next week, I forgot the exact order, but then I was like, okay, now you're like making a music video, and you're working with these producers and these videographers, and you're making a music video like based on a song you wrote. And then like the next week it's like, okay, like we're gonna put you in the studio with like these really high profile producers who work with like Drake and Kendrick Lamar, and you're going to make like a really hot song. And then I know the final competition is just like a full on performance, like in front of the biggest audience they've ever seen. And, that's when I feel like there was another competition in there, but
do they get like assigned a judge? Is it like The Voice where they're on teams with the judges, or are the judges just there to evaluate every time they have this next like test or competition or whatever?
So they're not assigned judges, but they're assigned like producers. And so like with the one when it was like producers, they were each assigned a different producer. And then actually another of the competitions was like being featured on a track. So like, D Smoke, who ended up winning the competition, he was featured on one of Miguel's songs. Well, I mean, you gotta. I mean,
we're 20 minutes in and you just drop it so quick. Like, D Smoke won, by the way. So,
It's weird because, like, that is, like, if you go to the Rhythm and Flow Wikipedia page, like, one of the first things you'll see is D. Smoke Mullen. So it's sort of, and it's sort of weird when you talk about reality TV. Like, I feel like spoilers work so differently where it's almost like news. And so as soon as, like, there's a winner, it kind of feels like everybody
knows. And it doesn't ruin the experience of watching it, really, because you're still just like, ooh, like, these rappers are good or they're bad and, like, I want to listen to them. But, I mean, definitely cut that out if...
Oh man, too late for that. I think bingeable reality TV is weird too, like the idea of it all dropping at the same time. Like, we're so used to like the weekly installment of like The Bachelor or Survivor or whatever it is. Like, I don't know.
Well, that's the other thing, is apparently the way this was released on Netflix was they did all the audition episodes and then they did another batch of episodes a week later. And then the final group of episodes, including the final competition, a week after that. So it was still like bingeable, but okay. It wasn't.
I mean, I did it all at once because like I didn't start watching it right when it first came on. So I think by the time I started watching, like all the episodes were out.
Anyway, Megan, I think I interrupted you. We were talking about the structure.
Were all assigned like different people to work with for each competition. I mean, that's.
And then, like, they're cut at every round, right? Like, the pool grows smaller every time. So how many people were in the final competition?
I think there were either four or five in total. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. Interesting. Daryl, what did you think?
Well, I loved the first two episodes, which is what I watched, but I'll continue watching it. I just didn't get a chance to start watching until, like, last night. Yeah. But,
busy week.
Yeah. Me and Tara both watched it and we both enjoyed it. And it's like I used to really like watching American Idol and like every year. And I would basically only watch the auditions and then get out. Like, and it was more for the kind of the freak show elements of that. So I was kind of expecting a similar thing and it was not that, right? Like even the auditions were actually, I felt like more substantial than the throwaway kind of American Idol auditions. For me, that bodes well for what happens once you get into the actual competition.
I think like it's auditions are a weird thing, right? Like they've changed a lot because when American Idol first came out, part of the draw was not the really talented singers. Like they showed pretty much an equal amount of terrible singers. Like just for all of us to like collectively laugh at people. And I think like the mentality has changed a little bit with that. Like you see on The Voice, even when people do badly, like it's not made into this horrible thing. And there's also not like amateurs coming out of nowhere and being like, you know, what was that guy's name who was famous for his horrible American Idol audition? Yeah. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Hong? Yeah.
Oh, right.
William Hong. Yeah.
Hong. There we go.
Hong, yeah.
There was a part of my head that was like, that can't be right, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
That's right.
He released an album and everything, right? Like, at least
I think now, like, it's just treated more sensitively. Like, when people fail or choke or, like, you know, have a moment in those things, it's like treated a little bit more sensitively. But I think that's also part of the like emotional piece of this is when someone makes it and they do really well, you're like, oh my God, that must feel so amazing. And when someone like chokes, it's not like funny anymore, you know?
Yeah. I think it's like also helped that there's no Simon Cowell, right? Like no Simon Cowell is good. Cause he's the one kind of like encouraging all that shit. And then,
So when you mean Simon Cowell, you mean specifically Simon Cowell, not just like a Simon Cowell figure.
Yeah, I mean specifically, I think he's the archetypical Simon Cowell. Like there are other versions of him that came after, but they were all inspired by him, right? And this is better because everybody's artists, I think, and because they like know that part of it first, so they're not just kind of the predatory producer on top of it, I guess. I don't know. Like, they're also producers, but that's different.
I mean, the auditions were also interesting because, or rather, it seemed like they were edited in a way that kind of tipped the hand a little bit because most of the time, if they devoted a lot of time to a contestant, both like telling their backstory and then showing a fuller performance, you knew that they were either going to get in or that it was going to be very close. And so you kind of knew, okay, I got to pay attention to this person. And then it would shift at a certain point to just doing this rapid montage of people doing badly and then immediately being dismissed. So like the kind of train wreck component, in as much as it's there, is only there for like 5 minutes of like rapid fire disasters. Yeah, and I definitely appreciated disasters. That.
Like, because I mean, that's one of the reasons why I stopped, why I stopped watching American Idol, just because it would focus so much on those like early episodes on just like the really bad people, and it just wasn't enjoyable.
It's like hard to watch.
Yeah, it's like, it didn't make me feel good. Like, no one felt good about it. Like, I didn't want to be a part of it. So, yeah.
Brutal, for sure. Like, a lot of TV shows have gone away from that. I think So You Think You Can Dance used to do that a lot, too, where they would put a lot of, like, really bad dancers in the audition episodes, and they had just, like, stopped doing that, too. So, yeah, I really liked it. It feels like, I don't know, it feels a lot like your standard, like, it has a lot of the same structure as your basic, like, reality competition show, but I think that it was better. It was just like a higher quality, because I feel like with all of those other shows, there's always certain performers or certain judges or like phases of the competition. And I can't speak for the whole thing, but like phases of the competition or whatever that just like get boring. And I just didn't feel that. Like I was interested in everything that Chance and T.I. and Cardi and all of the guest judges had to say. And I was never like bored by performances or the cadence of the show, or I just was like in it. You know what I mean? And I feel like reality competition shows like always have like a weak spot, and I just didn't feel like this one really did, you know?
I think it was also just shot, like it helped a lot that it was just shot and edited better. Like,
totally. Megan
and you, Jordan, were both kind of talking about that in the editing, but like, it's just, it really shows that, like what you can do just by taking like a format that might be pre-existing or whatever, and then say, all right, but what if we don't do it in that shitty broadcast style that like, for whatever reason, broadcast has just decided like, let's not make anything look too good because our audiences don't look like stuff that looks good. Right. Like, I don't know why that vibe is, but that's clearly a vibe that exists for like broadcast television.
Well, and just like the best talent too, like the best judges. If you look at The Voice, like Adam Levine is not relevant. I'm sorry. Like, you know what I mean? I'm sorry. Like Maroon 5 is great.
Shit. We had Adam Levine lined up.
No, we didn't. He's gonna... I'll say it to his face. He's not relevant.
I don't think
yo.
He's a judge like, anymore though. Perhaps because he is no longer relevant.
Well, I'm just saying he like coattailed that shit forever. Yeah. And like, I just feel like Cardi and Chance and T.I. like, you know, I just feel like they got the best possible people, and they like went all out. You know what I mean? There was no like skimping. There was no like, I guess we'll take this judge, or I guess we'll do it, you know, this way. It was like, no, we're going to do it the best way.
Right. Because my sense is that, I mean, and again, I should say that until I watched Rhythm and Flow, I had literally never watched a full episode of any music competition show. So I could be totally wrong. But my sense is that with a lot of these shows, the judges are famous people, but they're famous people on sort of the you know, they're kind of slightly past the peak of their fame. And they're, you know, and that when there's a judge announced, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, they don't have as much going on as they did maybe 5 years ago. And whereas here, like, you're like, Cardi B must have a million other things she could be doing rather than this. So the fact that she's doing this is like really impressive.
Oh no, I misunderstood. And now, yes, I do agree. I thought you were saying that the judges on this show were past the peak. And I was just like, I feel like,
oh no. That's what I meant was.
No, I think T.I. might be
best. Yeah, T.I. of all of them, like, T.I. is probably like the weak spot. But even so, like, I don't know, he's got such like
name recognition,
like, and he's so respected. Like, I just feel like, you know,
I did feel like that came across in the show though too.
Yeah, someone said something about it, right? Where they were like, "Where you been?" or something. Or maybe that was the
No. They said that about Jadakiss. That was on the New York episode, and that was right. Like, yeah, that was really funny.
I haven't seen you in a couple years or something like that. And then like they're me like get off the stage.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know, but T.I., because that thing came out about him and like his daughter. Do you guys see that?
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah. Oh wait, is this the
to see from Hyman's in place?
Oh my god, wait, that's him?
Yeah, yes, so yeah, that's for me that I had to put that aside to get through the show.
Right. Okay. So for people who have not read it, we should just say very quickly that basically there's this story about his daughter who like goes in for regular tests to like confirm her virginity, and he goes in with her.
I believe so.
It's like a regular gynecologist appointment or something, but he goes and then makes that check or something.
Yeah. I mean, everything about that is terrible.
Yeah. It's bad news bears for sure.
Yeah, you don't just need to know the details. You just need to know it's awful.
Yeah, like it's just bad. Like,
yeah. So that's T.I.
I will say though, like, I think the other thing for me is like, not only I'm definitely not the target audience for this show because again, never watched a music competition, do not listen to a lot of hip hop. So going into it, I had this element of like, will I even be able to tell who the good and bad performers are? And I will say, like, it actually made me appreciate, good rapping more, because I would just realize how like what bad rapping looks like when you're just like, oh right, like this is, you know, these are all the different ways it could go wrong. And so when you see a good performance, in some ways it's supposed to look kind of effortless, or I think at least for certain performers, and so when you just see how like both the train wreck ones and then also the ones where people clearly have talent and energy and creativity but they're not 100% fully baked yet, and you just realize how good the, you know, completely professional great performances
are.
Yeah, because totally. I mean, there were definitely times where like in the auditions where I was like, ooh, like this person's really good, and they were like, you know, it just wasn't there for me, or like they would think someone was really good and I would think that it just like wasn't good at all. So it definitely like helped me to know what actually makes good rap, as opposed to like what's rap music that just kind of like becomes popular but actually isn't that good.
Yeah, I liked that Cardi at some points was like, people like simple shit. Like, you don't have to be like, you know, like sometimes you just slow it down and then like a good line stands for itself. Right. And like, I kept thinking about that throughout the show because it sometimes felt like people were going for speed over substance and like it didn't work out for them, you know? And like, I think that challenged some of my perceptions because I always thought like Busta Rhymes was like the greatest rapper because he like could go so fast. But in reality, like a lot of what he's saying is just like redundant, you know, no offense to Busta or anything, but like, you know what I mean? Like it made me reframe the way that I think about like what makes rap good or what good rap looks like, you know? So I liked that. And I also liked that the judges seem to be protective of like their stamp of approval. Like I sometimes feel like, in reality, competitions like that doesn't happen as much, where they were like, I don't want to put my name on you, you know, like I want to make the next, I want to take credit for whoever I put through, and like I'm not gonna take like the negative version of that, like, right, like we're like, how could they choose this piece of shit, you know what I mean? Like I liked that.
Yeah. Megan, did you feel like the winner, D Smoke, he deserved to win?
Yeah, he's so good. Yeah, I've been listening to his songs. I mean, my two favorites in the end were D Smoke and London B.
London B make it to the end? Oh, yeah, I like D Smoke. He's the Spanish teacher.
Oh, yeah. He's in one of the episodes.
Yeah, he's awesome. But yeah, London B was also in the finals. Yeah, in the end, like, her final performance... I forget if it was her final performance where she messed up or if it was the one before, but... Either way, yeah, just in the end, like, D-Smoke was, like, clearly the better one. But, like, I also think that, like, London B is going to be super successful because of, like, her flow, her vibe, and just, like, everything just really has that presence.
She has, like, a brand, you know?
Yeah,
like, it feels like she already has a brand, like, where I would go, like, buy, I don't know, like a sticker for my laptop or something. You know? Like, I just, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like that's like the geekiest thing I've ever said. But yeah, I really like London B. And I didn't realize that D Smoke was who he was. I just looked at a picture of him. He's the one who teaches Spanish, right?
I know. I think maybe. I don't remember the details. He definitely has rapped in Spanish, right, though. But
he teaches Spanish and something else. There are two subjects.
But they were like giving him shit for his outfit because they were like, oh, you look like a janitor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But he looks.
Yeah.
He has so much confidence, though. Like, I feel like I just knew that guy was going to go really far because he just, like, from the second he walked on stage, it was just like he knew he had it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, good show. Good suggestion, Megan.
Yeah, you know, finish the show if you want. Sorry, I spoiled it for you.
I'm going to. It's okay. It's not spoiled. I'm going to watch it anyway. Yeah. And
it's the journey.
I also had heard about it, like, Megan, before you even brought it up and mentioned it for the podcast. I had like a bunch of people like, oh, I'm binging Rhythm and Flow. Have you seen it? Like, Cardi's in it. Like, you got to watch it. So I feel like that was just right on time. Yeah.
Do you feel people like this, like, if you're tired of all the other music competition shows, this is the one you should turn to?
I think so. Yeah. Because, I mean, like I said, I had watched several seasons of American Idol and watched seasons of The Voice, but have not actively been watching them. And yeah, this made me, like, this was, like, very refreshing. But I also just, like rap and hip hop. So it was nice to just kind of, like, see that as opposed to just, like, more, like, pop music.
Yeah. Well, there's the Masked Singer is the other big one now, but I don't know anything about that.
Mostly it's like it's very easy to watch passively, you know? But whereas like Rhythm and Flow, I was very engaged.
Okay. So. All right. Check out the Masked Singer.
I mean, I also just sort of cannot believe that American Idol is still on. Like, that just seems completely insane to me.
Well, it's crazy that like there are like some canon reality TV shows that have lasted like way longer than they're welcome somehow. Like, how is Bachelor still a thing? Blows my mind. Like, yeah, I watch it, but it blows my mind that it's a thing. It's like the most backwards assed, misogynistic, stupid shit in the world. And like American Idol too. Like, that is crazy. And Survivor's in its 39th season.
But the point is, none of that shit's on Rhythm and Flow. So
yeah.
It's good. And I would say, actually, there is a really interesting moment in the auditions where I think he goes on is there is a one of the contestants is a gay man and he's very open about it. And they have this sort of interesting conversation on the stage where, I mean, I was a little bit uncomfortable because I sometimes think like people in power can sort of talk about the audience or what other people will put up with as a way to sort of express intolerance. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have a problem with this, but other people have a problem with this. But I thought they handled it reasonably well, where they basically said, if you're gonna do this, all these kinds of people are gonna come for you, and like, you gotta like be on stage and completely own it. Are you ready to do that? And I thought that was like a really interesting way to have that conversation.
Yeah, I was definitely kind of like cringing when Cardi B was just like, oh, like, so you're gay, right? Or like something. I was like, oh God, where is this going to go? But yeah, I actually did think that it was handled well. And it was more so just coming from a place of honesty and just like, this is just how the industry is. Like, are you ready for this? Yeah, but it would be interesting to see how that contestant felt, though, because, like, who knows? Maybe he was like, that was so fucked up. And, yeah, I don't know.
Shrug.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to say about the show?
Nah, I'm just hoping for another season.
Yeah, it has not been renewed yet, but maybe soon. Maybe this will tip the scales.
I wonder if the same judges will participate. Like, if a season two goes through, do you think it'll be the same people, or do you think they'll get new people, either for like just keeping it fresh or because these people were like, yeah, that took a lot of my time and energy and I don't want to do it again.
Yeah. I mean, my understanding is that it's kind of Cardi B's thing. And then she pulled in like Chance and T.I. So I feel like if there's in season two, Cardi B would definitely still be there, but maybe there'd be the other two would be different.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe just one.
Maybe she kind of seemed to be the one in charge, right?
Maybe T.I. gets pulled. The Hyman thing happened while the show was already out, right? So,
right, yeah,
yeah,
Yeah.
The hymen thing. I'm such a weirdo. Let's close this down, please.
So, before we go, though, I will just remind our listeners that, as always, you can email us at originalcontent@techcrunch.com. And if you enjoy what we do, we always appreciate it if you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast app, if you leave us a positive review in Apple Podcasts or any other app. And Daryl, Jordan, Megan, all, thank you very much and have a great weekend.
You too. Catch you on the flip side.
Bye. Yeah.